The heart of every organization is its people. We're taking action to take care of them, to develop a world-class team, now and into the future. This is Empowering Excellence with Art and Frankie.
Welcome back to another episode of Empowering Excellence. I am Art Sterrett, and I am here with my fabulous co-host, Frankie Ramos.
Why, thank you.
Frankie, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good. How did you like that intro?
That was awesome. Can I get that like everywhere I go? You'll like do the intro like that?
Well, my goal is every time we record an episode, I'm going to come up with another adjective to describe my co-host.
So today's
adjective is fabulous.
Okay. I like that. Thank you. Very nice.
So what's new with you?
School has started. And so we're doing the school scramble because, you know, we got to get everybody back in the routines. Like, no, we're not going to bed at 11:30 at night anymore. Like, there's a routine. There's a schedule. So, yeah, school has started again.
I can't even imagine going to bed at 11:30.
You know, I'm like, oh, it's 9 o'clock. It's getting really late. Probably should go to bed now.
That is me. Well, I'm more like 8:30. I'm like, I think it's time.
8:30? What time are you getting up? How much sleep are you getting?
I get up at 5:15.
Oh, okay. Not bad.
I remember those days. My son is well past school age years, but I do remember those days getting up early.
Yeah. It goes by fast though, right?
It does. Yeah. Next thing you know, they'll be in college.
My daughter just started college and she was all frazzled and kind of upset because one of her classes was canceled because like the professor was sick or something. I don't know. And she was like, what? What do you mean it's canceled? Like, welcome to adulting.
Well, I hope it was a STEM class.
She's well on her way because she's very interested in, what did she tell me? Aerospace engineering. Yeah. So she's very interested in that.
I remember when I dropped my son Steven off at UCLA.
Yeah.
And they had this parents orientation and the president of the university got up and he's talking about it. He goes, now I know you parents, 60% of you think your kid's going to be a doctor. And you're probably telling them they need to sign up for pre-med. He goes, let me tell you, about 2% of them will be doctors. So I just want to manage your expectations.
Oh, yeah. Well, what did Steven want to be? Did he know right away?
Not a doctor.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't want to be a doctor either. It's a hard job. I don't think I'd be very good at that.
Now, he ended up majoring in international business and Spanish.
Wow.
And now he works for Disney.
That's a pretty cool job, though. I'm jealous. Like, can you imagine going to Disney every day? That sounds like a good job.
It would be fun, but I am not jealous. You know why? Because I work for NAVWAR.
Okay, yeah. You work for the Google of Navy. I got it.
It is also the best place to work in the Navy.
It is. You're right. Now we got to aim higher. We want to be the best in the federal government.
Yes.
I think we're well on our
Always
way.
Striving to improve. I love that. Speaking of STEM...
Yeah.
What are we talking about today?
We are going to talk about NAVWAR and specifically Naval Information Warfare Center Pacific's role in how they get out into the community, into the education arena, and kind of get kids excited about STEM, which stands for science, technology, engineering, and mathematics.
Today, we have a very special guest from NIWC Pacific, Christina Rock. Christina, tell us, what do you do at NIWC Pacific?
Hi, happy to be here. Big fan of the show. A lot of the topics that you all talk about here with employee engagement and talent acquisition and mentoring, all of those things is what STEM outreach and our academic engagement office touches. So really excited to share kind of how our workforce development programs really help to foster, right, a world-class workforce. So at NIWC Pacific, I run the Academic Engagement Office under the office of our Chief Technology Officer, Alex Phipps. I also happen to wear the hat as the NAVWAR Federal STEM Action Officer with Ms. Carly Jackson as our Executive STEM Champion for NAVWAR. These programs are really intended to inspire and to empower and advance our future diverse S&T, science and technology workforce. And I've just recently heard this term that's being coined and used a lot, so I like to use it. You say STEM pipeline, but it's really like pre-K to gray, really, that we are touching. Our little ones in our K through 12 programs, where we go out to schools or we go out to STEM fairs. You'll see us out at Fleet Weeks and the air shows and things like that. That's all of our programs where we inspire the future workforce. And we let them know about the careers that we have within the Department of Defense and specifically here at NIWC Pacific and NAV War. And then we also continue to empower and create pathway programs for those who are closer to the workforce, the college and graduate students, and being able to provide them internships, scholarships, and fellowships that lead them into careers. You talk about the community in which we reach. A large benefit of this program, though, is also the employee engagement, employee development part of our employees. And that's continuing to sharpen their saw with regards to them mentoring others, them being able to lead projects or being able to partner with universities and deepen their research in what they're doing so that they can stay at the cutting edge of technological work in their fields. And so that is the whole, right, pre-K to gray, and where we, you know, focus on advancing our and continuing to build our future S&T workforce.
I can actually hear the passion in your voice. This sounds like a really fun job where you probably get a lot of job satisfaction. How did you get into this position?
I have been part of doing some sort of outreach ever since I was in college. I was at UCLA and I did some early academic outreach program where I would go into high schools and I would talk to them and advise them about what they needed to do and what kind of classes they needed to take in order to get into college. That was kind of my first taste of in doing some academic outreach, but I've continued to stay involved in community outreach with my roles. Previously, I worked at Booz Allen Hamilton and I did a lot of community and philanthropy programming there. As well, I was part of a STEM nonprofit organization called KidSpark. They were a toy company, for-profit company that turned nonprofit. Imagine like Legos, but it's like you could attach things on all six sides of the block. And so we built education programs. So not only did we build the toys, but we added the education program on top of that, where we taught teachers how to use this as a modality to teach different STEM topics in the classroom. And so I loved being a part of that organization. There's always just been an opportunity for me to continue to stay involved and do some sort of outreach.
There's been a huge push because my kids are in middle school. So I have a 7th and an 8th grader. And so there's always after school programs, rich in STEM, trying to get kids, like you said, excited about the future. I mean, we need the future workforce, right? We know what we're all gearing up for. What kinds of outreach or like activities do they do in STEM for that younger age group? So when I think about, you know, a kindergartner or even like an elementary school student, what kinds of things are they doing to kind of get them excited about the STEM arena?
Definitely want it to be hands-on so that they could have some fun doing it. And for us, our mission and the work that we do is information warfare. So we try and keep it within the disciplines that would lead into a career where we could talk about the types of careers that we have as cyber professionals. We introduce them into some really basic programming kinds of things.
Oh, okay.
And so there's different kinds of STEM tools and toys that we use, like Ozobots is one of these things. It's a little robot that has a little sensor that reads the color of a line. And depending on how you color it, you know, red, green, yellow, it will have a function that it's supposed to be like turn left or do a circle or do something like that. And so what we do is we introduce the students into that kind of basic form of programming. They're sequencing and putting together patterns so that you could tell this little robot what you want it to do. And so they build out their own little, on a piece of paper, a little chart. They color it with their own pens. Then we give them all the different functions and then they draw it out. And then they put the little robot in there and see if it'll do exactly what they want it to do. So that's a basic way to introduce them to some form of coding.
Which is way cooler than just reading it in a book, right? Because I'm a visual learner. So if you give me stuff to play with, I'm all in. You make me read paragraphs of content, like boring squirrel. That's awesome to hear that they have like that hands-on application experience. You mentioned robots and you mentioned presence at Fleet Week and the air show. So my boys have been going to the air show for as long as they could walk. And for the longest time, I used to work at Air Station Miramar, where the air show is. And we always see NIWC Pacific there. And the thing that they always want to see every year, I call it the robo dog, but the robot dog. Mm-hmm. And it blew their minds when I said, well, yeah, that's one of the places that mom works. And they go, you guys build robots? I'm like, yeah, we have some really smart people that build robots. We have a hacking team, which mm-hmm. my older son was like, wait, what? I can get paid to hack? Like, this is amazing. When you mentioned robots, that immediately stuck out because they were fascinated. And the fact that you could be an adult but kind of build what they see as a toy is pretty amazing for them. So I think your mission was accomplished just in that short air show trip for them, the youth, fantastic, getting excited to say like, oh, I can get paid to do things like this. Yes, you can.
And the robotics program, I think, is one of the biggest and well-known kind of outreach program. We have a NavWAR robotics outreach program. First is for inspiration and recognition of science and technology. We sponsor over 150 teams across NavWAR. So about 50 here in NIWC Pacific, and then NIWC Atlantic are in Charleston and New Orleans and Hampton Roads area. They sponsor about over 100 teams. So NavWAR-wide, we have 150 teams that we sponsor and mentor and support throughout the whole season. And the season is just beginning again right now.
First Robotics Competition is a robotics competition for high school age students where they self-design and construct semi-autonomous competitive machines.
Manufacturing the robot, working with metal, working with wood, prototyping, electronics for soldering.
STEM.
Do you have to have a degree in order to participate in those?
Absolutely not. For the younger ages, you just really want to get them excited and support them. When you start to get to the middle school and high school, these teams get a little bit larger, and it is like running a small business or project for them. So there's all just like, you know, in our workplace, it's you have your technical folks, you have your project management folks, you have people who manage the finance, the people who go out and do your communication and marketing of your program, those who actually do outreach. All of these programs, they themselves, these students do wonderful outreach programs and giving back even to the younger ages. There is an opportunity for all kinds of skill sets to mentor, to help across any of those areas that I just mentioned.
Are you guys listening? There's opportunities. It doesn't matter what background you have. You can give back and develop the future Nav Warriors.
Yeah, absolutely.
I could see where if you were a K through 12 student, just how inspiring this would be for you to pursue a future degree and future career in a STEM field. So how do we engage once they exit the K through 12 level and then move on to the collegiate level? What kind of efforts do we have there?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, we love to consider, right, the whole, I say, pre-K to gray, and the goal would be to try and matriculate them all the way through and stay connected with us. And so those teams that either that we go to the schools at or we see at Miramar Air Show or Fleet Week or the sponsored teams, we start our internship programs at high school all the way to PhD, including faculty. We actually have a summer faculty research program. But our intent is to continue to advertise those internship opportunities. So when we're out at all of those fairs and festivals, or, you know, just last year we sponsored the first robotics championship at the University of California, San Diego, right? It was all the high schools. There was like over 50 something teams there, and we were a huge sponsor. We had a table out there with some demonstrations from our unmanned vehicle marine lab, our nano satellite group, so that they could actually see where engineering robotics is actually playing out, and we have those careers. And we were there with a table that says, here's our internship programs for high schoolers. Here's our scholarship programs, which now our SMART scholarship program, which used to be just offered to college students, is now offered to graduating high school students.
Oh, wow.
So in their first year entering, they could have their college paid for. We're really trying to get to the K through 12 and promote these programs so that they have something to look forward to. It's not enough to just say, go pursue these
right.
careers in STEM and go do that. But we want to also be able to say, here, we could give you those work experiences. We could give you those scholarships or those fellowships to help you pursue those degrees and then come work for us.
Yeah,
so
definitely. That's
yes.
how we recruit them.
Yes, exactly. Growing a world-class science and technology workforce is an important part of the S&T strategy.
Really inspiring. I'm assuming that for all these programs, you have no problem getting participants for it?
I say we have a lot of our usual folks who I call our super STEM volunteers who come out and love doing that. One of the wonderful things that NIWC Pacific does to continuously get a regular flow of volunteers is our new professional program, where we have new employees coming in part of their professional development plan within their first 6 months is to participate in at least 2 STEM outreach activities.
Oh, that's great.
Yes. Wonderful for them to help build their network right away, as well to be able to meet and participate in activities that help them build an affinity for the organization as well right away, to say, hey, I'm not only doing cool work for the warfighter, but I'm also being able to go out into the community and give back in that way as
Give back, yeah. I love that.
That's awesome. I really like, you mentioned earlier, the K through gray term. I don't know if you're talking about my gray, but but I like the continuity of going through the elementary school to the high school to the university. Can you talk a little bit about the intern programs that NIWC Pacific has, and also perhaps how we take those and turn them into future NAV warriors?
Absolutely. We just finished our internship program last week, so we're just on the heels and resting a little bit the 10 weeks of having our interns and our summer faculty with us. At NIWC Pacific, we had 160 interns and faculty, 150 students from high school to PhD, and then we had about 9 different faculty from universities who spent their summer doing research with us. They work on a project with a NIWC Pacific mentor for that 10-week period. They get exposed and they go on a variety of different maybe laboratory tours, get to see some of the other kinds of projects that we have across the center. And then at the end of that all, they do have to do, you know, a final presentation and then a poster session, because it is a research internship. So we want to give them that research opportunity to present. You would at a conference, mm-hmm. or you have a poster session. We give them all of that opportunity, and we continue to also give them soft skills trainings. We give them workshops on how to update your LinkedIn profile appropriately about your experience at NIWC Pacific. We talk to them about how to update your resume and interviewing skills, and what are the different hiring pathways you could get into NIWC Pacific. So we do that as well. And we do have a variety of different hiring programs. I mentioned the new professional program is one of them. We also have a hiring authority called the STEM Student Employment Program that allows them to work with us even if they're still in school. If their mentor really liked working with them, they had really good technical skills, great work ethic, they wanted to keep them on longer. We have a number of folks who've brought them on as STEM student employees, and then they continue and finish out their degree and then make the transition afterwards into a full-time employee. Nice thing about that, actually, is you already start earning your time and service, mm-hmm. right, with that SSEP. That's one of the benefits of doing that.
What advice, we've heard about the internship programs you have, and there's a variety of pathways to get hired. What advice would you give to students who are thinking about it, or maybe this is their first time listening? What advice would you give to students who are thinking about applying for any of these programs, the internship programs?
Yeah, do it now, because the application period is open. It's open between now through November 1st for our college and high school programs, the Naval Research Enterprise Internship Program, and then our high school program, which is our Science and Engineering Apprenticeship Program. Those applications are open now. I have a son who just entered college, and so what I'm telling him is, go out there and try different things. And I've told the students as well who come in our first week with them, we would love to keep all of you to be part of our workforce, but we know that's not the case. But my intention is that maybe that this brings you closer to finding out what you really want to do with your career. Even if you're not sure, maybe you know for sure you want to pursue a STEM degree, or you want to work with the DoD, or you just don't even know, I say try it out, because the experience of going through it will lead you to knowing whether or not you have more of a love or an interest for these things. So I say give it a try. Our mentors are fantastic. They really do a lot of care and feeding and patience and training. And a lot of the folks who come in, I heard a lot of their presentations, it's their first time having any kind of work experience or being in the workforce or getting a taste of what the real world is like. And it's a great opportunity to expose yourself to that.
The application period is open now. Where would they go to submit an application? Do they go to NIWC Pacific?
Yes, yeah. You could go to the niwicpacific.navy.mil and you could find all of our programs there. I mentioned a lot of them. There's also our marine mammal
program. That's my favorite one. Yeah. When I was an intern, I was at NIWC PAC for a little bit. I was like, I want to be a dolphin. Yeah.
Did you feed the dolphins?
No, but I got to watch them do all kinds of tricks. I mean, in my eyes, they were tricks, but obviously they were being trained for the job that they do.
Learn something new about you every podcast recording, Francesca.
You're welcome.
Yeah. So all of that information is there, and you could find all the programs that we have available for them to participate and apply in.
Christina, thank you so much for being here today. Really good.
Yeah, thank you. Really excited.
Hope you had a good time. We had a good time.
And Frankie?
Yeah.
We'll see you soon for the next episode of Empowering Excellence.
Yeah. We got to put a nail in which one we're going to do. All these good ideas are coming out, so I'm excited. We haven't run out of content. That was my worry.
I did hear Admiral O'Connor agree to be on the show as a future guest, so looking forward to that
I'm
one.
I'm excited.
All right, everybody, hope you enjoyed the latest episode of Empowering Excellence. Thank you, Christina. Thank you, Frankie, and we will see you all again soon. Empowering Excellence with Art and Frankie is a production of the NAVWAR Headquarters Public Affairs Office in association with NAVWAR Corporate Operations. Our podcast production team includes Ed Disco Buckleton, Kara McDermott, and Ramon Goh, our digital media specialist who produced today's show. On behalf of Frankie and myself, I am Art Sterrett. Have a great Navy Day.